18, but we're actually going to cover 25 through 30 at least. We may get a little further, but let's go back at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. Remember, Arioch is the captain of the guard. He went in and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom today. We pray for your presence. And Lord, we pray that your word would be open to us, Lord, and we would receive what you might have for us this morning. Lord, we rely on you for it, Lord, and not on what we as men can do. Lord, we pray that you would help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 25, Arioch brings in Daniel unto the king. And he brings the man in haste, it says. You know, when you have a hasty commandment that's going to bring forth the death of a bunch of people, there's just something about doing something in haste. The death decree has gone forth. And in verse 15, and the decree was hasty. And the decree was going to bring the death of every wise man in Babylon. So there are people that's going to die. So somebody has to have some urgency. Amen. And this Arioch is going to bring in Daniel quickly unto the king. And Daniel goes to Arioch and tells him in verse 24, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And Arioch, verse 25, brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. So he brings in Daniel before the king and brings him in haste. And I would say this, that the business of the king requires haste. Amen. Even our king, the King of Kings, his work that he's given us to do must be done in haste. There's not a whole lot of time left to witness to that soul at work that the Lord's been pricking your heart about. Needs to be done in haste before it's too late. You remember when Moses went to Aaron and he said to Aaron in haste to go light that incense and run into the crowd because the plague had begun. And people are dying. You don't have time to drag your feet. May God help us to have a little bit more urgency about souls that are around us that do have a death decree on their lives. What? To die and go to hell. The Bible tells us that when the angel was there at the resurrection tomb, he told them to go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus had risen. He wanted them to hurry up and go spread that news because the king's business requires haste. When Jesus talked about in Luke 14, verse 21, to go out into the streets and the lanes, he said to do it quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes and the byways and find the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind and to bring them in. He wanted it done quickly. And I hope that we're not dragging our feet with such important business with the souls of men that are around us. The Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 1, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. Lord, I want you to quickly get me out of my plight, so I want you to quickly help me. Not all the time will he come to our aid to get us out of our trouble, but we can sure ask him to incline his ear unto us. Amen. The cry and the plea is that we need to quickly do something about those who have an execution sentence on their life. And so Arioch brings him in. He brings him in with haste. Verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Now watch this phrase. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream, which I have seen, the interpretation thereof? Are you able? He asked Daniel, are you able? The answer would be no. Daniel himself was not able. It was not of Daniel. We've got a song in our hymn book about it, about on page 365. It says, are ye able, said the master. Remember when Christ asked the disciples, are you able to drink this cup that I've been given? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? They said, we are able. But they didn't understand what it was Christ was saying. Are they going to be able to be persecuted the same way Christ was going to? Are they going to be able to partake of the Lord's cup? And that's basically the song that's written on page 365. Let me read you a portion of it. You know, I don't know if we know this one, but it says, are ye able, said the master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Are ye able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise? Are ye able, when the shadows close around you with the sod, to believe that spirit triumphs, to commend your soul to God? See, it's talking about doing what Christ did. Are we able to be persecuted like he was? Are ye able, said the master. You know, we're very quick to run to Daniel's answer below in verse 30. But I want you to know how Daniel answers the question in verse 26. Often we skip and we read 26, 27, 28, and glide and 29, and we go straight to verse 30, to the answer. But notice what he says. He says, art thou able, in verse 26, 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven. Notice he didn't say, no, I can't do it, because he's about to do it. But understand that this thing he didn't think up. It came from somewhere else. No man on earth could give the interpretation. No man could give the dream unless it came from God. Now, God's getting ready to use a man to do it. Daniel has been enabled to do what the king has asked. But the first thing Daniel says, I want to tell you, all these guys over here can't do it. First thing I want to let you know is who not to listen to, who not to look to. And these people have no ability. He's saying, I have no ability. I can't do this. That's what Daniel's saying here. He says, I have no ability. We know that God gives the ability which God giveth. The ability comes from the Lord. You know, and that's the way it is with preaching. You know, there's a lot of preaching that comes straight from the flesh. And, you know, really the ability comes from God. If you get anything from the Lord, it's going to come from God. It's not going to be coming from me or any other man. We just came from that preacher's conference, and I'll tell you what, God gave us a lot of stuff, and it wasn't necessarily the men. God used the men, but we got something from God that week. Amen. I'm still not over it. I texted Brother Shanks yesterday, and I told him, thank you for coming and being a blessing to our people and bringing God with you as you did it. I mean, God was here the whole meeting, and he said it was a privilege to do that. We know that God gives the ability. We know that, but we often forget it. And, you know, God's not going to give ability to people that won't give him the credit. Amen. I mean, we're just flesh, and I was reading in the Psalms this morning, and we're just clay. We're just dust. But God chooses to use us. And that really is humbling when you think about it, that he would use flesh and bone and dust to bring forth his word. It really is. It's a great honor to do that. And that's what Daniel is saying here. He's saying it's not with man. It's with God. But God uses man. And we're getting ready to look at it. And God's getting ready to use Daniel in a mighty way. God found one man in this text that was able for the job. The Bible talks to us in our day of serving the Lord that the things that we learn, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I think we're living in a day where it's hard to find someone that is able to stand before the king, that's able to stand for God, that is able to bring forth the answer, a man that's wants to stand in the gap for the Lord. Just like the preacher preached in the conference. It's God's looking for someone, and the Bible says, and I found none. That really is a sad commentary, that God is looking and there is none to fill that gap. It's just one gap. Look, there may be others in the church that are already in the gap, but there's a breach in that gap. And he's looking for one more person to fill the hole in the gap. You say, well, all of us, what ability do we have? None. But he's able. Amen. And the master says, are ye able? And the chorus says, Lord, we are able, and here's the key, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee divine. That's the chorus of that song, Are Ye Able, said the master. Our spirits are thine, remold them, make us like thee divine. Lord, I want you to be able to count on me to have the ability to do what needs to be done for you in this circumstance. And he says, are ye able? You know, I find it interesting. Look at chapter 4 of Daniel real quick. Chapter 4 of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar becomes sold upon the ability to Daniel. That, like, Daniel has the ability. And look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Here he looks to Daniel once again. He has another vision, another dream. And this time he knows what the dream is, but does not know the interpretation. And once again he calls upon Daniel. God is still looking for an individual that he can use to be able to bring the testimony to this world that there is a God that can take little people and do big things with them. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. But we have to be little in order to do it. Art thou able, Daniel? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. Yes, Daniel, are you able to do it? And he says, no man on earth can. Look at verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Now he lumped himself in with all the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers. Every wise man in the kingdom can't do this thing. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. He says, but as for me, he says, verse 29, as for thee, O king. Then he says in verse 30, but as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. He says, as for me, I'll get to me in a minute. He says, it's not about me. I'm not any smarter than anybody else in the kingdom. It's not about me. But look at what he says in verse 30. But for their sakes. Whose sakes? Oh, the wise men in Babylon that are going to die. It's for their sakes. In other words, I'm putting myself into the fray for the sake of someone else that needs help. You know, isn't that what the Christian life is about? Everything God gives us, every piece of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not for me. It's for someone else. It's to show someone else that they need something. Isn't that the purpose of our lives remaining here? That God would use us for someone else's sake? Even as Christ gave himself for our sakes? We need to give ourselves to God so he can use us and make us able for the sake of someone. You know, it's amazing. I've had this stuff already done before the meeting ever. This has been done for weeks. And it still fits on top of what God has already brought to us through the meeting. It just amazes me how it fits together. But we need to give ourselves to God so he can use us for the sake of someone else. Daniel takes no extra credit for the dream or the meaning. Daniel declared that God didn't reveal the secret to him for any wisdom that he had. God revealed it to him so that the king would know what the future of his kingdom was to be, and that he might know what was to come to pass in the far distant future, but also so there would be no more killing of the wise men in the land. It was for their sake. And also that King Nebuchadnezzar would know what was in his own heart. The greatness of God through Daniel. How great. I want to look for a few minutes today at how great God is. And what not the greatness of God throughout the Bible, but the greatness of God through Daniel, through this one man, how great God is. We'll get into the dream and everything another time, but I wanted to take a look at how great God is, because He is great. And He's great in your life. He's great in my life. If you had a great week this week, it's because God was good to you. He gave you a rest from your trials and your troubles. He's good. Amen. I had a good week. Pastor said he had a good week. Clinton said he had a good week. If you had a good week, it's because God was good to you and gave you a little bit of rest from the trials and the fire that you've gone through all week, all the week before. And he says, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Daniel's not taking any credit whatsoever. And by the way, when you look down at verse 36, he says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Who's the we? It's God through him. It's God's going to give that king. There's only one guy standing before the king. Arioch, I'm sure, was dismissed as soon as he brought Daniel in. He was dismissed. So who is the we? Daniel takes no personal credit for this. Now you could say the we would be the guys over there praying, but look at verse 28. But there is a God in heaven, and he's here with me, Nebuchadnezzar. And we are about to tell you the interpretation of this dream. We are about. And look, it's that God. God is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar in the dream. And he's brought known the interpretation. He's going to make it known through Daniel. The we is Daniel and God. And God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel. He was using a human instrument to do that. But Daniel wasn't taking credit, and we already have seen that. You know who God uses greatly? People that will give him the credit for it. That will give God the glory for what he's done. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at that verse, and verse 28, but there is a God in heaven, and Daniel's helping me, God has said. You think about that little phrase, but there is a God in heaven. If there had been anyone that could have doubted God, I'd say it would have been Daniel. Daniel's life has been totally taken away from him. If that would have been a modern day Christian, Daniel probably would have doubted everything that he had been taught. You talk about someone that seemingly looks scarred for life. Not only are all of his family dead or taken into captivity, not only is he removed from his homeland, he can't go to the temple and worship. I doubt that Nebuchadnezzar would let him bring the scrolls with him to read the word of God. If anybody ever looked like they were, it was Daniel. And if anybody's circumstances ever looked bad, it was Daniel. If anybody seemingly had a reason to look up to heaven and say, God, where are you? It was Daniel. Daniel could have done that, but he didn't, and you never find him doing that. Look, Daniel looked at his circumstances and he said, although I'm going through this and I've lost that, God is still good. He still believes in God. He never blames God. He instead trusts in God through everything that he's been through. It was Daniel brought to a heathen land and made a eunuch. Now, you talk about a dramatic experience, to be made a eunuch, to have no family, no future, no kids to have, no grandkids. You understand? There is nothing passed on from Daniel. Daniel has no children. And here Daniel has all that as a young man. 15 to 18 years old, this is Daniel. This is his life you're reading about. Not somebody that had seen God do all these things all of his life and prove himself to Daniel. He's only 15 to 18 years old. He hasn't lived very long. And that young man with the rug pulled out from under his life, he did not look at his life and say, where is God? He looked at God and he says, there's a God in heaven. In spite of what's gone on in my life, in spite of what's going on with me, there's a God in heaven. See, our problem is we're so self-centered and so selfish nowadays. We look at all our troubles and say, we get mad at God. That's not what Daniel teaches. That's not what God is teaching us through Daniel. In spite of everything Daniel went through, God is still good. There is a God in heaven. Our viewpoint is toward man instead of toward God. And I'm looking at an individual here. I'm looking at a young man that is helping my life and encouraging me to understand that God is still in heaven. And he's not going anywhere. Amen? Thank God for that. And in spite of the death sentence given, there's a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God in heaven. I really think we need to start putting God back into the equation, back into our lives. The person of God back into our ministries. Not just going through life, not just doing what we're supposed to do in the flesh, but where is God in our life? Going back to what was preached last week, not the power of God, but the presence of God in our lives. What an amazing thing. And Daniel is pointing the heathen here to God. Though he can't see that God is working, though his circumstances don't seemingly bear them out, but he's got faith in that God delights in doing the impossible. And God delights in working through you and I in spite of what we're going through. And we're all going through something. And Daniel stands up and testifies, there is a God in heaven. Really? You know, you're just, who are you? Well, I'm fixing to show you the God in heaven. That's what Daniel is telling the king. Peter could stand up and testify, you don't know about a God in heaven? I'm ignorant and unlearned. I walked on water. Can you do that? How's that possible? Why? There's a God in heaven that can do that. A little woman is crying in 1 Samuel that she can't have a child, and she's begging God, crying to God, and all of a sudden she has a child. She finds out that there's a God in heaven. There's a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman that have never had a child together. And all of a sudden, Abraham stands up and testifies, and Sarah testifies. I'm going to tell you what, they knew that there's a God in heaven. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, well stricken in age, amen? They can stand up and testify, look, we can't have a child. But there's a God in heaven that showed up, that gave them a son, John. There's somebody bigger than you and I. And Mary says, that's no big deal. I'm fixing to have a baby without a man. Amen. There's a God in heaven that can do the impossible. And you know what? There's a God in heaven that can do some strange things in our lives. But if we'll let him do it, we'll get through every one of them. Amen. We just have to remember he's in heaven and he wants to be with us and he dwells inside us. There's a God. And that God in heaven dwells inside us. God is bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than your life. God's bigger than your ability. In fact, our abilities don't amount to anything. But God wants to show forth his word and his ability through us. William Carey said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You know why we don't do that? Somewhere, he's out of the equation. The impossible. Daniel's in a heathen society. And brother and sister, we are too. Our nation is becoming more and more heathen. God is not in our country anymore. But he's in you and I. He can still do great things. And Daniel believes that God is bigger than this heathen society. God is bigger than his life. And though it's not in him, God is going to show forth his greatness through Daniel. And he reminds, he tells Nebuchadnezzar and witnesses about this God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Look at verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. You know what he's telling Nebuchadnezzar? God's messing with your thoughts. It's really not your thoughts, it's God's. But he's showing you God's mind about something. You know, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was not Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was the word of God. And God was trying to show him something. God put his word into a lost man's brain. God made him think thoughts. You say he couldn't do that. He's lost. Too late. He did. And God didn't ask him. Not only that, Nebuchadnezzar didn't ask God about it. But God showed him something. And also, was not King Nebuchadnezzar called a servant? God's servant. Why then would God not try to show himself the future of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and try to warn him? Now look at these. It says in verse 29, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. You know what that's saying? These thoughts came into his mind before he went to sleep. Nebuchadnezzar, you ever think about things before you go to sleep when you're lying in bed? You think about things maybe that you have to do tomorrow. Maybe God deals with you as you're lying on your back but right before you go to sleep. I think this is what happened here. He was thinking and wondering what would become his kingdom someday. And God answered him by a dream upon his thoughts, upon his bed. God answered him by a dream based upon his thoughts. I'm telling you that God in this man's sleep put his word in a man's brain and made him think these thoughts. Do you think there's a God in heaven? As Brother Colson would, believest thou this? And then later, you know what God's going to do with this man's brain? Chapter 4? He's going to scramble it, make him think he's an animal. I'm telling you, there's a big God that can mess with people's minds. He's such a great God that he can do something through us. He can get the gospel to the world. He can use you. He can use me. He can control my mind if we let him. He can teach us. He can use us. He can overcome every other circumstance or difficulty or disability that we have. Because God's not limited. You know, except by our lack of cooperation. We limit God. God's not limited if we let him do what he needs to do. Daniel's a great man, but he's only a kid. And look at the greatness of God through Daniel. It's an amazing thing. God uses Daniel, and we're going to see one of the greatest visions. But we have to look, first of all, at how great God was. Daniel didn't look at his circumstances, and you know, we shouldn't either. We should never blame God for our circumstances. But know that he is working in us to perfect his son. Amen. Amen. Amen.